Good afternoon, Jennifer.
Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Welcome to the Idle Review. Wow.
Gleeful Podcast, what are you doing?
We haven't done an Idle Review in ages, even. Welcome to the Gleeful Podcast with Josh, Jen, and Ed. And we are back. Jen and I are back from our second honeymoon, we'll call it.
Our first anniversary trip?
First anniversary trip. We'll call it anniversary moon. October moon, that's what we're going to call it. Because then it comes every year. But yes, we are back. We went to Hawaii. It was an incredible trip. I want to talk about it, but I don't think that we should waste the time on the show. So just say you should go to Hawaii. And go to Giovanni's. Ed, how have you been?
I am back with computer.
Nice. Congratulations.
As you might have surmised, and things couldn't be more fantastical.
That is fantastic. You also got a haircut, so congratulations on that.
Yes, I think I might do like some Glee promo shoots now because of my new hair shoot. Like get the L going on. Like
nice.
I need a professional who's willing to shoot me for free. So contact me.
Okay, and is also in Indiana. Of course, it could be funny if someone like shot you over the internet. Like, you position the camera, and they're like, all right, talk to me. Give me scary. Come on, give me offensive.
That'd be hilarious.
Jennifer?
That would be hilarious.
How are we? Getting ready for Halloween?
Sure.
Jennifer's like, this has nothing to do with
Glee. This has nothing to do with anything, yes. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. Well, you know, just kind of welcoming everybody into the show.
Thank you.
We've got to fill 50 minutes, people.
There's a lot to talk about.
You know, I think mainly the main topic of conversation is still going to be last week's episode, just because, you know, Ed, you were able to hit on your points, but I know Jennifer and I had lots to say about it, and a couple things to disagree with you, Ed, about, but we did want to thank you for doing the show last week. It was kind of a little like what I think it's like in Ed's head.
You know, what people don't understand about this is, like, I talk a lot. But I legitimately, like, got tired of talking after a while, so I, like, paused it, and then I came back. Because, like, in our conversations, there's you talking, there's Jen talking, there's me talking, so there's, like, that break. But if it's, like, all you, all the time, and I didn't have any music to, like, break it up, I was, like... So I'm sure it sounded super disjointed. I'm sure it was kind of tragic. But... The intro was epic.
It was not tragic at all. I thought it was funny because it was, I think that's what it's like to live in Ed's brain, where it's pretty scattered, but there's a genuine, earnest effort to keep things organized and then random spontaneous moments of singing.
That's kind of accurate.
Well, the episode in question was, of course, duets. We opened there with Don't Go Breakin' My Heart, the Glee version from Lea Michele and Corey Monteith, originally by Elton John and Kiki Dee. Is that right, Jennifer?
Yep.
Oh, Kiki Dee. She wore overalls all the time. I think she lived in overalls and really high-waisted pants.
Well, that was very fashionable then.
Yeah. That's why it's
not so. Some actresses are trying to bring it back, but...
That's just wrong.
Alicia Keys...
Well,
Jessica Simpson. They like the high-waisted.
There you go. You're hitting all my favorites right off the top.
I'm just saying. Some people like that.
But that was a pretty fun performance. It was nice to see them do a duet that was, you know, enjoyable. I guess the whole content of duets being that it was about people, you know, that the whole let's pair everybody off and see what happens. One of the emailers, I think you mentioned this one, Ed, one of the emailers sent in and said the whole goal of the episode was the writers just saying, how many awkward situations can we create?
It's fairly accurate, that statement. I definitely said this last week. At least I think I did. I think I did. That before, when they were like, everyone has to sing a ballad in last season, and then we only got like two ballads this season, when they were like, everyone's going to duet, we literally almost got a duet from everyone. What doesn't make sense to me is inherently we had 11 people. Like, we had Puck, and then we lost Puck, and then we gained Sam. So we still had 11 people. So it was never going to work out anyways.
Well, it was a little odd in the episode how we just had no Puck whatsoever, no Emma. And no Sue Sylvester. I guess they justified Puck's absence, but it was still a little odd that he was just missing entirely. In juvie, apparently, which is hilarious. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, there was a lot of music in this episode, but it was all pretty justified, and that was nice. I mean, to give us this much music but make it all interesting is always the goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you had actually, we were discussing just before the show that you were not a big fan of grilled cheeses.
No, I'm not. It was like one of my, that was like my least favorite episode. I don't know. I'm not like anti-religious or anything. I just wasn't, the topic wasn't exciting, and it wasn't, and I felt like it didn't bring, well, there wasn't enough of a take-home message either. So it was just kind of there. And that's what I didn't like about it.
Interesting. So, is, you know, because my argument would be that there were many messages, and that's why it worked for me. That it wasn't one. It didn't come squarely down on any one on the side of any one, you know, religion or creed or such. It was just kind of a general statement of tolerance and of spirituality, which is what I really liked about it. It was interesting that I just thought it was had a lot going on, and it was fun to see that many songs performed with that much plot that actually worked. You know, in the past, when you had that many songs, it suffered because of the lack of plot. And this time, it kind of worked for me. But do you disagree? There just wasn't enough plot for you.
There was lots of stuff. I do agree. It was good that they remained. They brought up points about everyone. It was definitely equal opportunity. That isn't the issue. It was just that there wasn't enough for me. There wasn't, I don't know. I guess I just didn't care, I guess. I don't know. I sound so terrible. I'm like, oh, I just don't care.
Oh, but, you're not terrible at all. So, you know, what do you think about, Ed, that a lot of people have brought up that the beginning of season two is kind of a mirror of season one? Audition being Let's Bring the Glee Club Together, Britney being kind of their intensely sexual statement, Grilled Cheeses being their more kind of character-driven episode, and whereas last year, the episode one was very, was about bringing the Glee Club together, episode two was their, you know, celibacy club episode. You know, are you seeing parallels between the seasons, or do you think it's just, you know, the nature of the show?
I think there's only so many things they can do, I think, is the issue that we're arriving at. I mean, they're doing a lot of things. Like, I'm really excited for next week, and Duets was really good, and episode one was really good, and I'm sure there's gonna be a bunch of great episodes next, like, to come, but there's only so many things you could do. Like, this is still a high school glee club. It isn't like I can't even imagine things that don't make sense because they don't make sense.
No, you make a really good point. I mean, there's only so much that they can do, and so, you know, and you have to go through a certain narrative arc.
And like in high school, like when you go, you kind of go through that same, like the first week of class. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, first week of class. Second week of class, you're like, okay, I'm finally getting it. And it's kind of like the same. They're walking in their footsteps from previous years, and. As long
you
as
said
keep,
years.
As long as they keep like new cast members and have things changing and keep the songs as interesting as they have, I don't really see it as a problem. I mean, that's just how it is.
Yeah, I mean, you make a good point. I mean, you know, when you first thing you want to do when you come back from the summer break, be it in high school or on a TV show, is you want to reintroduce everybody. And you want to, you know, get everybody comfortable with the cast again. And then you immediately want to come back and make a big statement about this is how crazy and bizarre we can be, like you did with Britney. And then once you've made that statement, you want to, you know, quickly come back and be like, but we can be sweet and sensitive too, which, you know, they tried to do with Grilled Cheeses. And then Duets was kind of a roster. I mean, I enjoyed the episode a lot, but it was kind of a roster of these are our characters and these are what they're possible for.
Well, you know, this is what they good. This is good because, like, how they did the introduction again. Because season one had about 9 million viewers average, but season two is right now at 12 million viewers average. So wow. There are, like, 3 million people who are, like, new to Glee. So that's a large enough chunk.
Now, they have had a pretty significant fall off, but I believe it's been coming back. I know from episode 1 to 2, they had a pretty significant fall off in the ratings, but I think that's kind of expected.
Did it really? Because, I don't know, I'm looking at these numbers, and it went up from episode 1 to episode 2.
Well, I read it somewhere. Who knows? Who's listening?
You're probably right. You're probably right. I'm just reading Wikipedia, so IDK.
There you go. And you said that you were particularly excited about next week, but we'll save that conversation for later. You know, in duets, we did get a lot of Cord Overstreet, and Jennifer is gone. We don't have Jennifer here. Here, let's pause for just a second, and we'll see if we can get Jennifer back. And we're back. Jennifer, you have returned to us. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We were about to talk about Cord Overstreet. We had gotten to meet him in the first episode, an audition, but he was back this time, and with an Abby Vengeance.
Abby Vengeance?
What did you think of Cord in duets, Jennifer?
I thought it was really good. He's very understated. I like his character. He's obviously a little reticent diving into this group, but he seems eager to do well and make friends, and I like him. He's a cute kid.
Yes, he definitely. He's definitely an attractive kid. Oddly High School Musical-y. Like, he has a bit of a Zach Braff thing with the sweeping...
Efron.
Well, he wishes he had a bit of a Zach Braff thing. Ed, do you want to gush on Cord for us?
Cord definitely is one of the more exciting additions to Glee Club. I would like to see more sunshine. But,
true.
I'm excited for Cord next week as Rocky. So it's gonna be like, you're gonna all get it. I'll just say it so we can just get out of the way. I've never actually seen Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Like, really?
So just we're just don't. Gonna just don't. Gonna throw it out there. So now no one needs to be like, whatever.
No, I think I was 16 when my parents took me to the midnight show to go see it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, yeah. That's disturbing.
Yeah.
I've never actually gone to the theater to experience that. I've seen it on video so many freaking times, and that stupid soundtrack.
It's such a different experience. I mean,
yeah, I think so.
Seriously, well, the Exeter Street Theater in Boston ran it for years. They did the Friday and Saturday. I think they did it both nights, midnight show. And it was obviously like nothing I'd ever seen or experienced before live. And my parents took me and a couple of friends from high school, and so we sat in different sections of the theater, and it was quite a trip.
Well, we'll definitely discuss it next week. It'll be interesting to see how they treat it. But yes, Cord Overstreet, you know, it's interesting, his character of Sam. Is that right?
Sam, I am. Eggs and ham.
Not particularly partial to him. There's moments where I think he's kind of playing thin. Like, the writers don't quite know who he is yet. I get that he's supposed to be smarter than Finn, but then he has really dumb moments. And then he has dumb moments where he's pretending to be dumb. And he's kind of a geek, but then he's not really a geek. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure that anyone knows
Sam
who he is.
Sam is. In my opinion, he's like the bridge gap between Puck, Kurt, Finn, Artie. Like he's
and Mike Chang's abs.
Oh, that's true. I guess I forget.
He's
about
the
that.
Synthesis of everyone. He's the perfect man.
he's the perfect man. Of course, yes. Be more perfect, he was in my bed, but
well, then he needs to wear a sweater vest and a tie, and he can be Mr. Shoe.
Exactly. All yeah. Golden. There is a moment though in that episode, like as many problems as I had with Sam and duets, and you know, there were moments like you know where he kind of plays stupid, but then I don't know how much he's playing and how much he's not, and like the whole Navi Avatar like planet thing where he's kind of. Like, is he supposed to be a geek, or, you know, what's that really about?
I don't know. The impression I got is here's a kid who probably wasn't too popular or too cool in his last school, and he's getting a fresh start. So he can be whoever he wants to be.
Yeah.
But I don't... I think he's trying really hard inside, but he's trying to play off as kind of, you know, aloof and easygoing about the whole thing. And I think there is a lot more to him than meets the eye.
Well, it'll be interesting to see him, especially if he hooks up with Quinn here. But yeah, the one time, or as many problems and struggles as I had with the character, the moment where Finn says, you know, you can't do this duet. And he says, boy, I gave my word, so that's the end of it. And then he walks away, and I'm like, oh, I'm kind of crushing on Sam all of a sudden. Like, that was a perfect, I mean, and he delivered it very well. It was a very kind of Kevin Bacon and Footloose moment. So I don't know. It's
wow.
Just what it made me think of. Let's go ahead and give a listen to Lucky. A lot of people pointed out that this song was performed by Lea Michele and Jonathan Groff. So that if you haven't heard that, that's a very charming performance they did at a benefit. But here's a bit of Lucky. I just want to point out she is not playing that guitar.
I know. Because the second she puts her hand on it, they're like, pan up.
Seriously. And she's not holding those strings hard. Oh my gosh.
You were looking at her hand.
Whenever someone plays the guitar. So, you know, Sam and Quinn, first of all, Quinn, I think, cried through half this episode. Like, at the drop of a hat, she would just be like,
she's still hormonal.
Because, you know, gentlemen always pays on the first date.
That, I thought that was a really sweet moment.
I thought it was a sweet moment, but she's next to tears while she's saying it. Like, Quinn only has, like, two emotions. She is, like, pissed and just about to cry.
I thought it was a really great moment. I just thought it was very believable. You know, she had a really rough year, obviously. And here's a guy that she's going to take a chance on. And just the act of doing that and expressing that she wanted it to be a date, I thought that was really big.
Well, I thought it was big. It was the delivery that I struggled with. But you're right. I mean, we did see some growth in Quinn in this episode. Quinn kind of being Quinn. Discussing her challenges with having to keep Santana off her back on the Cheerios.
Oh, that's so funny. She's like, I should be ignoring people right now.
I've more important things to worry about, like getting Santana off my back and torturing Rachel. So, but so we had a bit of Quinn and Cord, and you know, the big question, everyone kind of assumed that Cord was going to come in and be one half of Kurt's power couple. And mm-hmm. Now we have Quinn kind of getting in the mix and getting crazy with it. What do we think about that, Ed? What do you think? I mean, you think that Cord's coming around, or do you think that we've been misled?
I think it's all like a red herring. Because I think I've heard who the actual person is. Like, it's been
okay,
around the web.
We have to talk about this. Well, let's just come out and talk about this. Darren Chris, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know his name. I was trying to avoid it.
I have read nothing official about Darren Criss. I have read no one even connected with the show has mentioned Darren Criss. However, we here have gotten like 5 emails, if not more, from people saying Darren Criss is going to be on the show. Darren Criss is going to be the boy, Kurt's boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And Darren Criss was in the Harry Potter musical. And every one of them has sent us the exact same YouTube video. So this is my hunch. And Darren Criss, if the people who emailed us about Darren Criss are actually listeners of the show, totally email me and tell me I'm crazy. But my hunch is that this is just Darren Criss, the actor's promotional machine.
His gorilla.
Trying to marketing. Get him on Glee.
Yeah.
Because
I've heard of Oh No They Didn't. I heard. No, I but heard it on
oh,
there.
No, Oh No They Didn't is not official in any way.
It might as well be official in my heart.
I'm totally distracted now. Thank you, Jennifer. Jennifer just showed me a photo of Lea Michele.
Speaking of an Oh No They Didn't, there's pictures from the GQ photo spread of Glee Gone Wild, and Lea Michele is throughout the entire thing in above-the-knee socks, bra and panty, and maybe a top. I don't know what that is. But
I don't know if it's shred cute of clothing. Or, I don't know if it's cute or grotesque. Yeah. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
But Josh is straining his neck to see it again. So.
Oh yeah, I'm totally distracted. But we were talking about Darren Criss. So I'm going to come out and say, Josh Purnell, I think that Darren Criss has nothing to do with Glee. I think this is just a total ploy by his people to try to get him on the show.
Sam doesn't make sense as Kurt's boyfriend, and
Mercedes didn't make sense as Kurt's girlfriend, but we all bought it.
No, he didn't.
They still pitched it to us.
That's different.
Yeah, I mean,
two different things.
Well, we already see Kurt lusting, logically so too.
Yeah.
So, but Sam, unfortunately, seems quite straight on the show. Unfortunately, I want you to be right, but you're not. Like I want you to be right.
Well, as soon as someone actually official says Darren Criss is on the show, or I get an email from somebody talking about Darren Criss who actually appears to listen to our podcast and sends it a different YouTube video than the one everybody has previously sent, then maybe I'll believe it. But to this point, like, I don't know. I don't buy it.
Well, I mean, it worked for Therese. I mean,
yeah?
People were just talking about it, and all of a sudden, she was on it. By the way, guys, I'm going to be on Glee, so start a rumor.
Yeah, so start a rumor, please.
Let's start it now.
Well, let's start a rumor that we're going to be on Glee.
Oh, I didn't tell you guys. I'm directing 4 episodes.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Did you know? I didn't realize Eric Stoltz did this episode.
Eric Stoltz directed the last episode. Eric Stoltz, who's most famous for, Mask, I guess. Eric Stoltz has been working for so long. He's currently on Caprica. He's an actor. He's directed a handful of things, but mainly he's an actor.
Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yeah, kind of like on the outskirts of the Brat Pack back in the 80s. He's a great actor, and I've always liked his stuff. So when I saw his name, I mean, how do you miss Eric Stoltz? There's not a lot of people with that name. Killing Zoe was really good in Killing Zoe.
I never saw that.
It's good. With Julie Delpy.
But apparently he can...
He can direct episodes of Glee, which is interesting because the directing roster on Glee up to this point has been reasonably limited. So it's kind of wild to see.
Surprised to see a different name. Yeah.
Well, we talked about Cord. I guess we can talk a little bit about Finn and Kurt. A lot of the talk and a lot of the dissension about Finn and Kurt's relationship, their reckoning at the end of last season, actually came to pass in this episode where Finn kind of came right out and said, hey, look, you know, the things you did to me, if I did to a girl, it would have resulted in a restraining order. And even Finn's dad calling Kurt on some of his behavior. We've always talked about how Glee is oddly self-aware, which is kind of wild. I really didn't think they were going to bring that one up. I thought they were just going to pretend that dissension didn't happen and move on. But we actually got a discussion, a reasonably honest counter argument to the way that Kurt behaved and the way Finn was treated for his behavior. So, yeah, I was really impressed by that.
Didn't you say at the Glee panel that Ryan Murphy said that they were going to address this again?
Well, Ryan Murphy says a lot of things.
Well, and how many of them are completely false?
Well, you know, I'm not keeping score, but Ryan Murphy will answer any question you ask him.
And whether or not it's a truthful answer, I guess, is another story. But, I mean, so far, everything that he's said or talked about, you know, even in generalities, they've come to fruition on the show. So,
well, I also think that's one of Ryan Murphy's skills, as he speaks in pretty vague generalities.
Broad sweeping.
So he always turns out to be right in some way. And, you know, if the question is, will we ever see X on the show? The answer is always someday. Absolutely. Can't wait for it. So
I just don't win.
Exactly.
But, you know, Jennifer, how did you feel about Finn and Kurt's conversation in this episode?
I thought it was extremely well done. I thought it was very natural, very honest, and again, it wasn't belabored. It was just sort of put out there, and you know, they each kind of said their piece and they moved on, and I thought that was really well done.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Kurt wasn't demonized for his actions, but, you know, characters, you know, his father and Finn were both very honest about, like, look, you know, we understand why you behaved the way you behaved, but it was still inappropriate. Yeah. And Finn even said, I know I was wrong in what I said, but you have to understand how, you know, frustrated I was. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty honest. I mean, it was nice to see the show bring it up. Ed, how did you feel about it?
I thought it was, I don't know if it was necessary, but it was appreciated. Because Kurt is a little bit predatory, almost, in some of his direction.
Yeah.
And it's probably good to just clarify that it isn't entirely appropriate. But inversely, I didn't think what Kurt was doing to Sam was the same thing that he was doing to Finn. Like, to clarify, I thought it was a different situation, and I thought that people were, like, thrusting this on him unfairly. So,
yeah, the impression I got is that Finn was just trying to trying to stop Kurt from, you know, moving in too quickly, I guess. Because, I mean, if they became partners for the duets, and then, you know, maybe then his feelings might grow more and more. And I think Finn, I hope he was trying to protect Kurt as much as he was trying to protect Sam.
It's true. It's an interesting statement for the show to make, where Finn is essentially saying, you know, and his father kind of point blank saying, like, look, until their world becomes your world, you still have to live in theirs. You know, you still have to kind of play by their rules. So, yeah.
There it is.
Had to happen. And there's that. That was really loud. What's going on?
it's leaving now. It's gone.
But yes, you know, I agree that it did seem that Finn was kind of preemptively just saying, like, look, we don't want it to go down this path again because we really need him in the club.
But I think also, and maybe this is just my wishful thinking, but I think that Finn was trying to save Kurt the heartache of getting worked up about a guy who may never be into him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the impression I got.
That's a very good point. Well, we did get to hear a bit of Chris Colfer's singing voice in this episode when he did Le Jazz Hot from Victor Victoria. Fantastic Julie Andrews movie. If you haven't seen it, it's so good. It drags like crazy in the last hour, but it's still awesome. So here's a bit of Le Jazz Hot with Chris Colfer on the vocals.
About 20 years ago, way down in New Orleans, a group of fellas found a new kind of music, and they decided to call it jazz. No other sound has what
I was laughing
this
at the way he says jazz.
Before they knew it, it was whizzing round the world. The world was ready for a blue kind of music, and now they play it from Steamboat Springs to the past.
It's funny that the plot of Victor Victoria is Julie Andrews is an out-of-work female singer, and she the only way she can find work is by playing or pretending to be a male female impersonator.
Yes.
So she's a female pretending to be a male pretending to be a female who James Garner then falls in love with, and you know, yeah. And they take on a relationship which he has to keep secret because now everyone thinks he's gay. It's very racy for the time.
That's Blake Edwards, right?
Yes. It's actually kind of racy for now. Even though there's a funny scene in, originally in the movie, James Garner takes Julie Andrews out thinking that she's a man. And then they have this moment just before they kiss where he's just about to kiss her, and then he goes, "I don't even care if you're a man," and he kisses her, and it's this big moment. And then later they added in a scene where he like sneaks into her dressing room to see that she's a woman before this kissing scene, so everybody can go, you know, James Garner, he knew.
It's Maverick, you know.
It's Maverick,
but yeah,
a fantastic movie.
Great movie.
We got a lot. There's a lot of raves. I know, Ed, you were a big fan of this one. Personally, I don't think Chris Colfer has any business singing jazz. It doesn't feel it like his voice is too soft for this song. I don't know. Even when Julie Andrews did it, it had more teeth on it. But Jennifer's looking at me like I'm crazy.
I think you're crazy.
Yeah, so
I
you like
it was
this
amazing.
One?
I think Kurt's voice can do more a lot of music, like Pink Houses. That still somehow remains like, between Pink Houses and Rose's Turn. And possibly the addition of this song. Those are my favorite Kurt moments.
I don't know. The song that he does later in the show at Lee Michelle, that one I was tearing up.
Yeah, that's one of the best songs they've done.
But I thought it was great. And it was funny because I never thought of them ever doing Julie Andrews. And I'm like, Kurt is the one that could do it, though.
Yes.
I think he's great for this.
No, he's the only one who could do Julie Andrews in the show. I mean, even Lee Michelle wouldn't look right doing that one.
Oh, I thought this was great.
Well, there you
go. I was a little taken aback by the production of it. But, you know, little things like that we tend to overlook this far into the show.
That was pretty funny production of it. Going through a couple other random, you know, plot lines in the show, we had the continuing troubles, or I guess the start of troubles between Tina and Mike Chang. Maybe it's because they have the same last name. That could be it.
No, Tina's last name is Tina Cohen-Chang.
And he's Chang. So they almost have the same last name?
Almost, okay.
Almost. The Asian therapy, when she... And that was a great line, you know. Why does it always have to be Asian therapy? I think we all assume that this relationship is going to fall apart and send her running back into the arms of Artie. Everyone, are we together on this one?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know.
Edward, opinion?
I mean, that just seems so obvious.
Yes, yeah, I was going to say, it seems like definitely the obvious conclusion. I don't know if it's what will happen, but it's the obvious conclusion.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's true. And Artie hooked up with Brittany in duets, which I would have really liked to see an Artie-Brittany duet. Like, I was disappointed that they didn't end up performing a song together.
I was too. And I was a little surprised at the evolution and fallout of their relationship too.
Yes,
that was pretty intense.
It was heavy. I mean, in an episode that was more, you know, one of their lighter weight episodes, they did have a really intense sequence in the middle with Artie and Brittany and him losing his virginity and then you know, kind of feeling rejected after
or
the
just
fact.
Feeling used, not rejected, but he just felt. It didn't mean anything to her because she's been with so many guys.
Yeah.
And girls. And so I think he was regretting that he didn't wait for somebody special to him.
Well, I think that, I mean, the sense I got was he was more angry with her that he thought that it was someone special to him, and then he found out that it wasn't, or at least he doesn't think it was.
How did he not know?
That is a question, you know.
I mean,
how did Finn not know that he couldn't get pregnant from a hot tub? Like, this, like, you just need to accept these things. Like,
high school.
But still, like, Brittany on several occasions has admitted that she's been with every guy in the school.
Yes.
Yeah, but maybe Artie was like, oh, but I'm different.
Now go back and watch the scene where Santana tells Artie that Brittany just slept with him to get for the duet.
Parking.
Oh yes, and free parking,
upgraded parking,
and the scene when Santana grabs the passing guy and says, "Do you know Brittany?" And he says, "Yeah, I slept with her." That dude is like 30.
I know, right?
Oh, he's a random guy.
I was thinking that. I was like, that's kind of old. But
he looks totally out of place. He's seriously old.
But he might have been a teacher.
He could have been a teacher.
That's true.
Fanboys everywhere were sated by a Santana Brittany kissing scene, which I'm sure has been posted all over the internet.
Okay.
Nuzzling scene.
There was no lip action. Yeah.
Yes. Santana Brittany nuzzling scene. How about that?
Sweet girl kisses.
There's a lot of controversy supposedly surrounding this. Lots of people, again, like, I don't understand these things anymore, but apparently some people it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. Not so.
Again, I don't understand. If people are that easily offended, I don't understand why they pay attention to the show.
Because people like to find things to be angry about.
Because they have nothing better to
do with their time. Yes, exactly.
They just kind of come to me. So.
Seriously.
Well, I will trade places with these people any day.
Yeah.
To be fair, like, if you just like saw a promo of Glee, you like you get that it's sweet, you get it snarky, you get it that it's singing. It really doesn't show the true depth. And
yes.
That is Glee. Mm-hmm. So to be fair to people who like were confused on what Glee was about,
should be a disclaimer at the beginning. This is not High School Musical.
Well, like, yeah, they really should. They should do an episode called "This Is Not High School Musical," but that'd be hilarious.
Not another High School Musical.
This is not another High School Musical. That'd be epic.
Awesome. Yes, that'd be hilarious.
And if they come out with that, we said it here first.
Oh, absolutely. I totally forgot to mention when we had Artie and Tina, they did perform Sing from the seminal Broadway musical Accordion.
Mike.
Mike and Tina. I'm doing a lot of things at once.
Stop.
Mike and Tina, they performed Sing. This was our first vocal performance from Mike Chang. I think he had more lines in this episode than he's had the entire show up to this point.
Seriously.
Here's a bit of Sing.
Oh, I know you're thinking, what a crazy ding-a-ling. But I really couldn't. Sing. I could never really. Sing. What I couldn't do was...
Three blind mice!
It isn't intentional.
He's doing his best. Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Jingle bells, jingle bells. It really blows my mind.
He gets depressed.
But what I lack in pitch, I sure make up in...
Power!
And all my friends say I am perfect for the shower! Still... I'm terrific at it.
Dance,
girls are messing up my
pants,
I'm a birdie on the
wing.
But if I begin to...
Do we think that that's the last Mike Chang performance we're going to get? Vocal performance?
I honestly don't think he's that terrible.
No, I'm sure he's exaggerating.
Yes, it seems very put on. I hope not. They're adorable together.
Yes.
They really are great together. That was a really fun... It was so much fun to see everybody perform.
Yeah, and that was one of the great things. I mean, I don't even know if we'll have time to get to it, but River Deep Mountain High was a great high energy number. And, they managed to pack all these songs into the show, and we still have plenty of plot to discuss. So, hey, you know, it's. They've hit a nice stride.
One of the best episodes this season.
What did I say?
You said River Deep Mountain High. It's that's not the title.
Yeah, it is. It's right here on my computer.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the title.
Just dying to correct.
Just blew her mind.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, Josh. Wait.
I was wrong.
Ed, at 4:09 p.m. on October 19th. Jennifer said I was right and she was wrong. Wait, no, she actually didn't say I was right. She just said she was wrong.
The implication was there.
But I'll take it. Well, you know, the last song of the episode, they closed out on Happy Days Are Here Again. And we'll close out the show on that one as well. But that was an outstanding song, outstanding performance. Definitely Lea Michele doing her best Barbra Streisand impression, with head motions and everything. You could, I didn't pick up on the reference right away. The original video, I didn't get the reference right away until they did a couple close ups, and I was like, Lea Michele's totally doing Barbra Streisand faces.
Oh God, yes.
And then I got it.
It's, I mean, that performance is iconic.
Yeah,
Judy Garland and Barbra Streisand and. That was just, I get chills thinking about it.
Yeah, and down to the outfits and I
totally.
Where did Kurt get that suit? It was an outstanding
suit.
Where
does he get all of his suits?
It's a very good question.
Yo, he was wearing Alexander McQueen on this episode. I was like, love Alexander McQueen.
Nice.
There you go. Well, that's pretty much all I have for duets. Jennifer, do you have anything else for duets?
Wow, sad Brittany is sad.
That's true.
I mean, usually she's so out of it that nothing phases her really great or, you know, really. She's never really happy or really sad.
Mm-hmm.
But just to see her like this, it was really, really hard to see.
Yeah. I just realized what we forgot, Ed. Breadsticks.
Oh my God. I've been talking about that so much. Every opportunity, wow. Even if it doesn't fit, I just break out. One time, I brought a wheelbarrow to breadsticks, and I demanded that it be completely filled up. The manager tried to stop me. Then I called the corporate office, got her fired, got my breadsticks.
And they don't look very good.
I know, breadsticks I want. I mean, I think it's obvious that it's like Olive Garden, because it's like... Because they give you unlimited salad.
Unlimited breakfast, yeah.
But
they give you salad until you die or pass out.
And then Finn got a job at Olive Garden, but they wanted to be breadsticks to keep it all, like, legit. They don't want to, like, get anyone in trouble.
Yeah, one of the listeners emailed in to say breadsticks is, or he likes to imagine breadsticks, or they, like, I don't remember who it was, but they like to imagine breadsticks as having a vortex in the back of the restaurant where they just bring all of these breadsticks in out of the ether, this endless supply of breadsticks.
That'd be sweet.
It's just so funny because the restaurant looks like garbage. Like, it looks like a restaurant I would never go to.
It does not look like garbage.
Oh, come on. Well,
it doesn't look trashy.
Tell you what it reminds me
is
of.
That what you're implying? Because I don't. It doesn't look fantabulous, but it looks okay.
Yeah, I just think it's so funny that Santana is the most passionate person yes. about breadsticks, and I'm like, the girl looks like she hardly eats.
Yeah,
because she only eats once a month.
And when Kurt's trying to convince Cord to do the competition with him, and he says, "Go download a copy of the breadsticks menu." You'll understand why we have to win this. Even Kurt likes breadsticks. Like, what is it about breadsticks?
Who, does anyone, like, no matter who you are, everyone loves Olive Garden, right?
Like, no.
Unless, I mean, no one hates it. There's always something at least to like.
Well, I hate the prices, but considering the prices what they provide.
And here I am thinking, like, gee, we really shouldn't say anything bad. What if they want to become a sponsor?
Yeah, OG, you want to be my sponsor?
I think I've eaten there twice.
Really? I guess I'm lame, because I've been there, like, millions of times.
Well, we don't really have one near... Oh, no, we do have one near us. We don't eat... Josh and I don't eat out a lot, so that's our disclaimer.
That's our disclaimer.
That's your disclaimer. Like, every year, like, when I was younger, I got to choose where I wanted to go for my birthday, and I, like, chose Olive Garden pretty consistently.
Oh, wow.
So... I don't know. I just love it. OG.
So you associate with birthdays. That's
there
sweet.
There you go. Well, we need to talk a little bit about this before we go.
Bleep. I like that because it gets the title out right away.
Glee is a show about Sue Sylvester. Sue Sylvester is the star of Glee. Now, yes, there are a few other characters, but Sue is the one you want to see. Okay, now I realize that that sounds very conceited, since I play the part of Sue Sylvester, but blame my co-writer, Jose Cuervo. Bridge! When Sue comes down the hallway, slushy cup at her side, the faint of heart better break way and part, and the weak should run and hide. Yes, the weak should run and hide. Yes, the weak should run and hide. You know what? Now, singing this song, I realize it's a really bad theme song for Glee. Not a good idea, but I'm in the middle of it, so I'll keep going. But I do really like this part here, Fred.
Where did Sue Sylvester come from? No one knows. Legend has it she was birthed from between two storm clouds. Lightning hit the ground, and from the billowing smoke emerged a female figure, covered in dirt and wearing a red sweatsuit.
This would all be claymation.
So this is, of course, Jane Lynch on SNL last Saturday. Last Saturday, the Saturday before.
Saturday the 9th.
Saturday the 9th. But yeah, so Jane Lynch on SNL. I know, Ed, you said you didn't catch it, but this was her opening monologue where she said she wanted to perform the Glee theme, and they didn't have one, so she got really drunk and wrote one herself. You can find it all on Hulu. It's pretty funny. Jennifer, what was your review of Jane Lynch on Glee?
On SNL.
On
SNL.
She
was fantastic.
Oh, Jane was of Glee.
It was one of the better SNL shows I've seen in a while.
Definitely the best one this season. Even better than Amy Poehler, I would say. I think it was one of the best SNLs they've done in a while. Their Glee sketch, the first big sketch of the night, where they actually had all the cast dress up as Glee cast members and perform "Don't Stop Believin'." And, you know, Jane Lynch came out as Sue Sylvester and did her thing. That one I thought was probably, well, that was really bad.
Well, it's because of the sketch itself, because it was the whole...
the Gilly character.
Gilly character.
Yeah, but the Kristen Wiig character.
Anyhow, it was
a lot
of fun,
we can talk about SNL. But definitely check out, the monologue is really hilarious. You can find that on Hulu. The SNL digital short, you will see more of her than you ever wanted to see, but she just, I mean,
she's phenomenal.
Oh, the new boyfriend talk show, like the second or third sketch of the night with Andy Samberg, that was a great sketch that she was in. So definitely go ahead and check it out on Hulu, and it's a lot of fun. And you know, congratulations to Jane Lynch for hosting SNL. She said that was a dream come true. So let's go ahead. I guess that's pretty much it for us. If you'd like to weigh in on anything we said tonight, you can email us at gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. Ed, would you like to thank any iTunes reviewers?
Yes. Cam 0520, Dukesman, epic name, you with the face. I don't know why that name is epic, but it is. Bledos 28, Bailey Thompson, Corinne Tags, Sugar Pop 88. Thank you so much for reviewing us on iTunes, Raffle.
There we go. And
I don't like the new iTunes logo. As a side note,
all right, their logo. Okay.
Yeah, the new iTunes. It's like a blue. It's a black note in a blue circle. Like the old one better. I don't know.
Well, if you'd like to weigh in on that, gleefulpodcast@gmail.com. You can also check out our website, which is www.gleefulpodcast.com. We also have a Facebook fan page. Go ahead and join up there and become a fan of the show. Want to send a shout out to, if I can find their, want to send a shout out to She Knows Soaps, soaps.shenows.com. Which also covers Glee, and they sent a shout out to us, and we are very happy to send one back to them. If you watch soaps, that seems to be the place to go, and you can discuss that type of stuff. So big props to them. And that's about it for us. We'll be back next week. We have no, or we'll be back next week to discuss Rocky Horror Show.
Yes.
So that'll be crazy. For the Gleeful Podcast with Justin and Ed, I've been Josh.
I'm Jen.
Shutting down all over the world except for when the monsters strike.
Okay. Just gonna keep driving that through, aren't you? You're just gonna keep pushing that one through.
You know what? It's working. It's working. People are gonna use it. Use it. Oh, art contest. Talk about the art contest.
Oh yes, the art contest. Yes, we'll see if anybody wants to enter the art contest, or we might just pull the plug on it. But the art contest is,
we
have a prize.
Entries. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay, I totally forgot. We have a prize. If you'd like to enter the art contest, just create some form of Glee or Gleeful inspired art, post it to the Facebook fan page for everyone to share in the joy, and we are going to select our favorite, and they will get a prize, which I don't have enough time to describe now, because there's only 41 seconds left in the song. For the Gleeful Podcast, it's Josh and Ed. I'm in Josh. That's Jen. Ed, OM Glee, Jazz Hands. Peace out. Staying quiet everywhere except for where the monsoon strikes. Right?
Sort of.